9. And David's talking about how God knows him, how God knows every little piece of him. And yet, he also talks about being away from God from over here or from over here. And really, it's if I'm out here or in this valley or in this valley. And what I really like is firsthand. He says, even there, your hand guides me, will guide me. Your right hand holds me fast. That dominant right hand for David, probably, we don't know. But isn't it interesting that God's got a grip on us? If we know Jesus, he's got a grip on us, and he's not going to let us go. That's an encouraging thing for us in this world of valley. He's got a grip on us. Sing with us if you would. Spirit, how it might move in our hearts, might move in each one of us, Father, show us those areas that we need to get right. Show us those areas that we just need more of you. Thank you for that. Show us this morning.
Ladies, that was great. Good morning again. Good to be back here. Pleasant Point. I'm Scott Mathis. If you don't know me, I spoke yesterday. My wife spoke, and I'm the president of the Berean Fellowship of Churches. And we have about 60 Berean churches scattered across the United States. So my wife and I go to a different Berean church every weekend, training leaders and encouraging God's people. God's kind of given me a gift. It's nothing to do with me, I guarantee you. But somehow when I preach, people make decisions for Christ. Somehow when I preach, people get saved. And it just kind of happens. So I preach all over the country. Big churches, small churches, all flavors. And it's a unique life that we live. And we live down by North Platte when we live there. We're not there a lot. Next week we'll be in Colorado Springs, and then I'm flying up to Montana to be up in Montana. There's an independent church that's looking to join the Berean Fellowship, so I'm meeting with them. And then we'll be in, then I'm going roping in Wickenburg. Yeah, so I'll be in Arizona and actually meeting people and meeting churches back there even when I'm roping down there. And then we'll be out in, for the month of March, out in California and Vancouver, Washington, and Oregon and stuff. So we appreciate prayers when you live on the road. It's an interesting life. But here we are at Pleasant Point this morning. And I love this church. I've prayed for this church for years and years and years. I've spoke here several times throughout the years. So thanks for having me back. It's such a privilege to be a Christian. I just love being a Christian. I still remember before I was a Christ one, man, and just the emptiness and the craziness of trying to fill the hole in your heart with all this other stuff and things, and then to discover Christ and begin to grow in that journey of figuring out who you are in Christ. And it's such a privilege. And so if you're here today, man, I want to encourage you. It's not bad to be a Christian. And you know what? Life's hard and it's horrible. But we're going to heaven. It's awesome. We don't have to be, you know, walk around like we're constipated water rats and be depressed and discouraged all the time. It is awesome to be a Christian. So, as we travel around and so we deal with all these different churches, and one of the things we notice is that there's help in all kinds of different churches. And as we go to different churches, we've been in really, really big churches that are really healthy. We've been in really small churches that are really not healthy. I've been in big churches that aren't healthy. I've been in little churches that are really healthy. So if size isn't an indicator necessarily of church health, but there are several things that do indicate church health. And so this morning I thought it would be fun. You might not think so. But I thought it would be fun as we're going to look at 10 or so evidences of a healthy local church. Okay? So what I am going to do is I'm going to read a passage of scripture, and you have to come up with the evidence of a word that begins with the letter S. Okay? All of them begin with the letter S. Yes, yes, you should. I should get a gold star from you, Pastor Bob. That indicates from that passage of scripture that I will read to you what the word describes is health in a local church. Okay? So, they're all going to begin with the letter S. Okay? So, if you shout out words that don't begin with the letter S, you're wrong. Okay? So, let me read a passage of scripture. Okay? Acts 2:47 in the last half of the verse. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. In a healthy, life-giving church, what should be happening? Okay? I'm thinking saved is a great word, but I'm thinking salvations. Okay? If your church is going to be healthy, it has to be seeing lost people coming to faith alone in Christ alone. Local churches that are not seeing anybody get saved, get baptized, and be discipled are over the long haul, not very healthy. It just is, it is imperative. Now, every church is in a local context, okay? With some people, some churches are in really tough context, but there are still lost people around here, I guarantee you, that if they died today, face a Christless eternity in hell. And are you passionate about reaching lost people? When a church gets so inward focused that it's just us four and no more, and we're happy and we're comfortable with our little group, and doesn't reach out to non-believing people who aren't born again, the church is on the way to non-health, or is quite frankly unhealthy. And so the first evidence of a healthy local church, a life-giving church, is salvation. Secondly, let me read you the this might be a little tough one, not too bad. Ephesians 4:2. Always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Another evidence of a healthy, life-giving church found in this verse, and obviously I'm going to do one verse per word, but we could use tons of other verses. But I might have to tell you this one. Can you think of an S word that kind of follows that? There's this attitude amongst humble people who are gentle, being patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. There should be a, ooh, that's a good one. How about a sweetness? When we go to healthy local churches, there's a sweetness, and quite frankly, we feel it here. Okay, I know some of you are jerks and hypocrites, but and you have your moments, right? But seriously, there is a sweetness here. There's this prevalent attitude of, hey, we're going to overlook people's faults because we're going to submit to one another, we're going to love each other. There's a sweetness in healthy local churches that isn't always easy to define, but it's there. And believe us, we go to a different church every weekend. We can tell, right? There's just this, it's hard to quantify always, but there's a sweetness in the local church. Word number three. Oh, this is easy. Colossians 3:16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Singing. Yeah, another good sign of a healthy, life-giving local church is that the people actually sing. Like, I totally think it's singing, but I've learned through the years that if I am walking with Jesus, I want to sing, even though I don't sing very good. Okay? There is a help in a local church that's just been prevalent through all church history, and I've been in India, and those people sing songs that are completely different beat than us and obviously completely different language. I've been in a church in the rainforest of Panama amongst the Kuna Indians, and they chant. They basically chant. But they're worshiping with all their hearts. So it's not the style of song, okay? There's different styles of worship. Your particular mode or preference for your worship songs say more about your culture and your generation than being more godly than others, okay? It takes a wide variety, you see in this passage, but there should be a singing. There's help in a local church when people are willing to sing. Oh, another easy one. Matthew 28:19-20, what we know is the great mission of the church. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What do you think? Another sending, right? Healthy local churches are always sending people out to serve Christ. They're sending them, like right now, you're going to be sent out from this place to be on mission for Christ in your local context, wherever you're at. Okay, you are on mission, you're missionaries, every one of us. But also you should be sending, right, people from here to foreign lands. That healthy, life-giving local churches are always in the process of, a lot of times, giving your best people away. Sending them to different parts of the country or different parts of the world because God has called them to spread the gospel. And that is just part of it. It's just part of it. I remember the young pastors were getting ready to send out some of my best guys that I've invested in. And they were going to be missionaries, or they were leaving to go to a different part of the country. We trained them up to be pastors or whatever. And it was just killing me. Like, oh, man, it's going to leave a void. And it did. But healthy churches send. They always send their best people away. This one might be a little hard. Number 5, Mark 9:24. The father instantly cried out. Remember, this is the father's interaction with Jesus when he had the sick kid. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I love that. This father's like, I believe, Jesus, but help me in my unbelief. And I see in this, you don't probably have to try and guess this one. In every healthy local church, there's a struggle because it's filled with people who believe and yet they need help in their unbelief. If we would be honest, unhealthy churches know it all. I want you to know your doctrine, and I want you to know, be firm in your faith in Christ and understand your identity in Him. But the reality is, folks, life's a struggle, and there's an element of mystery to our faith and how God works. We don't ever completely understand, and there's always in a local church a struggle among some people who are in a season of they believe, but Lord, help me in my unbelief. And there's a struggle there. And healthy churches don't condemn people for when they're in their season of, Lord, I believe still, but help me in my unbelief. They don't write them off. They don't criticize them. They give them space and time to work through. Unhealthy churches are just kind of mean. Like, you got to know all the answers. You're not trusting God in your unbelief. Well, maybe they need to hear that, but a lot of times what I'm finding is you got to give people space and time and let Christ work. And if you're in a spot of your life where it's just hard and it hasn't turned out like you expected and it's just, you're just in a hard season, man, I want to encourage you. If you're like this guy who said, Jesus, I believe, but help me in my unbelief, in those areas where I don't fully get it, man, hang in there, okay? There's always a struggle in every local church amongst the people. Okay. Look, there's more S-words. Yes. Let me switch deals. This one's getting a little dry. Oh, this is another easy one. 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Did I hear it? Starts with an S. Suffering. Yeah. Yeah. That could be too. There's always strange people in the local church. There always is. And most of them are you, and most of them are shaving your face every day. So, man, I'm glad you got that, man. Folks, life's about suffering. It really is. This side of heaven, we're going to suffer. And Peter said, hey, don't be whacked out. That's my paraphrase. Don't be whacked out about the suffering you're going to be going through. You're going through. We all have a tendency to think, oh, I love Jesus, so Jesus, make my life comfortable and easy. That's just such a bogus belief system, but we all have seasons where we go through that. Like, Jesus, surely you can make an exception for me and make my life a little easier. It doesn't happen. Life's about suffering this side of heaven. And every local church that's healthy just understands that. Just accepts that, hey, it's not always going to be easy. We're going to have seasons in our individual lives and then collectively as a local congregation of just suffering. It just happens. And it doesn't mean you're not healthy when you're suffering. In fact, it can really be the opposite. Okay? So suffering is another evidence of a healthy, life-giving local church. This one's easy. 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Oh, that's really good. That's probably better than my word. Someone said serving, but I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts, youth. That's really good. Serving. But what I want to talk about is, hey, each one of you, whoever you're here, however old you are, when you got saved and the Holy Spirit came to indwell you, He gifted you with a spiritual gift or gifts to serve a local church. And healthy local churches, it's not just a certain subset of people who are using their spiritual gift. Okay? It's everybody. And what grieves us and what we see all the time is many local churches, a lot of local churches do not have a track to train future leaders or elders and another track to disciple people into knowing and learning both the doctrine of Christ and His Word and the church, but also learning how to use their spiritual gift. I don't care who you are, and you're here today, if you are born-again Christian, God, through His Holy Spirit, has given you a gift or gifts to be served in the local church. And quite frankly, I believe that we are going to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ for how we used our gift or gifts. And honestly, I think there's going to be a lot of Christians who are going to stand there before the holy eyes of Jesus and say, I don't think you're going to be saying, you know, Jesus, I was so busy. Just didn't know that time to use my spiritual gift in the church. You know, I had to rope on Sundays. Or, my kids had sports stuff, so I just didn't have the time, Jesus. No big deal, right, buddy? I don't think so. I don't think you're going to say, them people were kind of hypocritical in church, so I just stayed on the outside and showed up when I wanted to and never really served. I just think you need to get serious about the judgment seat of Christ. And this, again, the judgment seat of Christ is not to get into heaven or out of heaven. It's for reward or loss of reward. But it grieves me that there are a ton of Christians who are not using their spiritual gift in a local church. And that is not healthy for them or the body. Healthy, life-giving local churches are working at getting everybody to use their spiritual gift or gifts in the body. Where am I? Oh, number 8. This one's easy. Ephesians, let's do this one. Ephesians 6, 8 through 18 and 19. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere, and pray for me too, Paul said. Yeah, supplication. Supplication literally means to ask or entreat. It can be used of prayer. Our prayer life reveals our dependence on God. It really does. Individually and collectively as a church. In our churches, we used to be local church pastors in Mitchell and in Torrington. Every small group that we had going on, and we were big on small groups, we called it being a two-legged church. One leg was corporate worship. The other one was living Christian, authentic Christian community in a small group, because a lot of people are trying to walk with Jesus on one leg. They're either in a small group or just in a church corporate worship gathering, and so they're hopping on one leg. And so we discovered that how we discipled people the most is if we could get them corporate worship and in a small group. And every one of our small groups, we trained the leaders to say, we're going to spend a portion of prayer. So there's not everybody in your small group's going to be able to feel comfortable praying out loud at their group, and that's okay. They can pray in their heart. And when they're done, say amen. But we had more people praying in those groups, and it brought amazing life to not just their little group, but to the life of our whole entire church body. It was amazing. So churches, again, traditionally in evangelicalism, it's like you have a prayer meeting night. I don't know that that's always the most the best way to do it in rural areas. People driving so far. I think that you have to be really creative, but the key is in our internet saturated age, you can pray in amazing ways and be really effective. We've done prayer through texting. We've done prayer through Facebook messaging. We've done prayer in a lot of different ways, but the key is it's not like prayer has been tried and found wanting. It's just that it hasn't been tried. Churches who are healthy supplicate. They pray for each other, for the world, for their own church. So, a healthy church prays. This is a good one. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. What do you think that word is? It begins with F. Sharing. Oh, that's better than my word, probably. Maybe. I don't know. But my word was stewardship. But what did you guys just say? What was it? Sharing. Yeah. That's good, too. But are you aware with your finances? There's this direct correlation between how we handle our finances and our walk with Christ. And when we walk with Christ, we just understand that we are going to be committed to our local church in stewarding a portion of our money back to that, a portion of our time, a portion of our talent, serving our, using our spiritual gifts. We're just stewards of what we own, right? We don't really own anything. We're just stewards of it. And as stewards, we give a portion back. And God has this unique dynamic relationship that occurs with people who are generous in their giving. Again, I'm not, a prosperity preacher. I'm just saying there is this unique intimacy that occurs with our Heavenly Father when we understand that we're going to be committed to letting God run our finances and give how He leads us. And so stewardship is so important. 10th word that begins with test. This one might be a little tough for you, but I think you might get it. Titus 2:2-5. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good and be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. What do you think that passage is an S word? What do you think ought to happen in a healthy local church where it seems that older teach younger? What was that? Mentoring with an S. How about sponsoring? That was my S word. For mentoring with an S. Sponsoring. Who, I don't care how old you are in this room, who are you sponsoring? Who are you investing in? Who are you mentoring? Okay? It is amazing. Di and I have always been amazed that younger people desire in today's culture to be mentored and sponsored. When I grew up, man, but there are a ton of younger people in nowadays who would love an older woman or an older man to teach them how to be a man or a woman. Our society has degenerated so much and there's so little of authentic Christianity that many young people are just desperate for getting sponsored. Be intentional about sponsoring someone as a couple or as individually. And I love the wisdom in that passage. I speak on this all the time. But, older women, you train the younger women. Older men, don't you train younger women. Every time that's been tried in the church, it's a bad thing, right? It ends up horrible. So sponsoring needs to occur. And again, we have found, both in a practical manner and when we were local church pastoring, and then as we observe and go around to all these churches, churches need to be intentional about this. It doesn't just happen organically a lot of times. You have to be really specific about who are you intentionally discipling. So sponsoring. Number, was that 10? Oh man, we're going fast. This one's easy. Hebrews 4:12-13. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. What do you think we say? Every healthy local church is what? Governed by the authority of Scripture. Folks, God wrote a book. It's called the Bible. God spoke. God carried along people to write down, to reveal Himself to mankind. The Bible is the most unique book in the world because it's not a book about God. It's a book by God. Okay? You need to remember that. And every church and every denomination that decides to obey culture more than Scripture dies. And it is amazing to me how when local churches say, yes, Scripture is our authority. And again, all churches and all believers have to continue to grow in learning. Okay, what is a biblical absolute? What is a biblical principle? And what is personal preference? Okay? Because we've all seen ideologues on either the liberals or conservatives get carried away on each side, right? There has to be an ability to interpret Scripture in such a way that, do we understand this is a biblical absolute? Is this a biblical principle? Or is this a personal preference? And churches who don't train their people on how to interpret Scripture in a proper way end up becoming really whacked, and sometimes personal preferences become a higher authority than the Word of God. Okay? And biblical principles many times aren't followed, or there is no biblical absolutes, or everything is made into a biblical absolute, even from the Old Covenant. And it messes the health and life of the local church. So, I wanted to just encourage you with that. You know, I don't want you to feel like, oh, there's five areas this church needs to grow in. As you went through, I don't know, I don't live here. Okay? And I didn't ask Bob. I'm preaching this at a lot of churches, okay? So it's not like I'm singling you out. I'm not saying this, oh, I think they're unhealthy, so I'm going to nail them with the 11 S-words. I think you're pretty healthy. But I can guarantee if you're a normal church, you need to grow. There's areas you're like, ooh. We need to grow in that. And there's areas where you individually need to grow, right? Maybe Scripture's taken a back seat. Maybe you don't care about the salvation of lost people. You know, Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, if you have no desire for others to be saved, then you're not saved yourself. You can be sure of that. That's a pretty strong quote. In other words, he just said, if you don't have desire for others to be saved, then are you really saved yourself? And I just think we need to hunger for and pray for, supplicate for the conversion of men and women, boys and girls. I just think we need to be passionate about that. Because it more than anything, that's why I started with that, it just breathes health into a local church when you're seeing lost people come. Faith alone in Christ alone. Father, thank you for teaching us today. I thank you for Pleasant Point Community Church. I ask you to keep them strong in you and weak in themselves. Lord, keep them from pride. Keep them from being gloomy and depressed because of the state of this world. But give them great joy and help them continue to have a passion to reach the non-believing people in this community. Give them wisdom to know how to reach them on a personal level and a local church level. And I just thank you for this precious church, and I commit them to you, Jesus. In your holy name I pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. This has been fun to be with you this weekend. Thanks for letting us stay in your new prophet chambers, and I'm now a prophet. And
before we go, I mentioned that Jordan shared with us about our team mission. We have a missionary facility support through the local church as two missionaries. And then there are others that are supported by individuals. These are our church supported missionaries. And we work with the budget prepared for our annual meeting. We thought it might be a good idea to make everyone aware of what the Lord is doing through your faithful gifts. That's right, Stephen.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, "One gives freely, yet grows richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." In April of this past year, the board voted to tithe on the annual budget. It's something that we hadn't done before. It was decided that the money would go to the team missionaries. Last Thursday evening, we looked at the closing figures from 2018. As a church, we were able to give $14,600 to missions. We as a board were encouraged how the Lord provided and honored this step of faith. As a board, we wanted to share this with all of you and to say thank you for following the Lord's leading in your generous giving.
Thank you so much. And praise the Lord for that. Let's close this service this morning with number 438. Let's stand together. 438, we'll sing the first verse. 438. Cross our paths, folks whom we can help, be a testimony and an encouragement to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.